Welcome to a message from New Life Christian Church and World Outreach.
Well, for those of you that weren't here over the weekend, we are in the afterglow of our women's conference, beautiful day that started on Friday afternoon. And we had a powerhouse of speakers and ministry going forward. And I mean, it far exceeded my expectations. And you know, I just love it when God shows up and we experience His presence mightily in our midst, and we did this weekend. We were talking about the theme all weekend. It was the treasure. And when we looked at the treasure, you know, normally the way my mind goes as an exhorter is to get in your face and tell you how valuable and precious you are to God. And that is 110% true. But as I was praying and preparing, I sensed the Holy Spirit not necessarily wanting us to go that direction, but instead to recognize that He is our treasure. That the very greatest gift we could ever receive in life is to walk in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we turned our eyes to the precious treasure that we have in Him. And then as we continued, Pastor Michelle Oshner, she challenged us not to just say we know God, but really to know God. She compared that to the Facebook pages where, you know, we talk about how many friends we have on Facebook and you push a button and all of a sudden you've got a friend. And, you know, sometimes we come to the Lord through the confession and salvation and we say, I'm a friend of God. And yes, that's true, but God wants us to go beyond just being His friend to truly knowing Him. And if you ask the people who have 700 friends on Facebook, how many of those people do you really know? You know, it might be like a handful. And the Lord wants us to know Him. And so we were challenged as He drew us into His presence this weekend. And then Rochelle, she talked about the sweetness of spending time in His presence. See, we come to know Him by spending time with Him. When we pull ourselves away from all the distractions of the world and we go into our prayer closet and we have communion and fellowship with Him, spirit being to spirit being, and He pours His life into us. And when we open up His Word and we read the love letters that He has written to us, it's amazing. He comes alive to us through the pages of His book. When we read the words of Jesus Christ, we come to know Him. When we see what He did throughout His life on this earth, and he reflecting the Father God to us, we come to know Him. And then I love this part. I mean, this is probably one of my favorite things, and that is the gift that He left us with when He went to heaven. He said to His disciples, He said, I'm commanding you to go to the upper room and to wait because there's a gift. And you know, the word treasure is synonymous with the word gift. I was thinking, well, maybe I should have called the conference the gift, but this gift is a treasure. So I want you to turn in your Bibles real quickly because we're going to go over about 5 points, hopefully, before 10:30, and talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't you think it's really important what someone says, what their last words are to us before they leave this earth? Amen. Does anybody believe that? Yes. Besides me? Okay. All right. Y'all awake this morning?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the very last words of Jesus are recorded to us in Acts chapter 1, and we're going to turn there and read them, and I'm reading from the Amplified Translation. And it says in chapter 1, verse 4, And while being in their company and eating with them, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which He said, you have heard Me speak. He said, for John baptized with water, but not many days from now, you shall be baptized with and placed in and introduced into the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was exhorting His believers to, matter of fact, not just exhorting, command, that's a strong word. That doesn't leave options when God commands something. But you know, I find that in Christianity, you know, sincere believers who sincerely love God, they've missed it. They've missed this gift of this treasure of the Holy Spirit. They've completely let the traditions of man and religious and denominational thinking talk them right out of receiving this precious, awesome gift of the Holy Spirit. Some have said to me, and I was raised Southern Baptist, and we didn't believe in the Holy Ghost. We didn't believe in speaking in tongues. I used to think, why did they even leave the book of Acts in the Bible? You know, but the Acts of the New Testament are the pivotal message of the entire New Testament church, because this is where the church of Jesus Christ was born. His very final words were a command to the believers to go to the upper room and to tarry and wait so that he could give them this most precious gift before he went to be seated at the right hand of the Father. But the church has missed it. I remember hearing as a little girl, there's only one baptism. There's only one baptism. And we can look right here in the Word where it says in verse 5, chapter 1, for John baptized with water. He's making a distinction. We understand that the water baptism is our obedience in following Jesus Christ as he was baptized by John in the River Jordan, but it was a baptism of salvation. It was a baptism of our identifying with Christ, that in Christ we have become new. And when we were immersed under that water, we were identifying with the death and the burial. And then when we came up, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this new life we receive through salvation. Amen? He said, for John baptized with water, but, everybody say, but. That but means then there's something else coming. If that's all there was, there wouldn't be a but, an amendment to not just one baptism, but two baptisms. So read it in your own Bible. Not many days from now, you shall be baptized. That's two baptisms. Not one baptism, two baptisms. So the next time you meet a Southern Baptist, and they tell you, oh, it's not for today. There's only one baptism. Say, oh, I've got good news for you. There's two. And it's a gift from the Father. It's a gift. You will be placed in and introduced into the Holy Spirit. See, when we become born again, we're just like this glass of water. You know, some people think you don't even get the Holy Ghost until you're speaking in tongues, but that's not true either. That's a misconception. When you are born of the Spirit, His Spirit comes and dwells within this earthen vessel. Just like this glass of water, the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity, along with the Father and the Son, they come to take their home in us. And we are filled, we have the Holy Spirit within us. But there's more. Say, there's more. It's a treasure. It's a wonderful gift. And I'm so excited. I walked down the aisle when I was 13 years old, and in sincerity with that fiery evangelist that Sunday morning as visitors in a Baptist church, I walked down the aisle because all of a sudden I realized, just because I was born in a Christian country, and I believed, in God, and I believed, the Bible is the Word of God, but I had never recognized that I needed to have a personal relationship with Him. I thought just because I was born in America in a Christian country and I believed that there was a God and that that was His inspired Word, that was enough. But it's not enough. See, the Word of God says only through Jesus Christ will we go to heaven. Only the righteous. And the only way to be made righteous is through believing and receiving the work of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and His redemption for us. Amen. And so I ran down to the altar that day. And I prayed the prayer with that preacher. And I was excited. And then I started carrying my Bible to school. And I started getting made fun of. And I started telling my friends what happened to me. And I got made fun of even more. And I took my Bible home and I set it on the shelf. And I said, this stuff doesn't work. And I left it. But I had conviction from that point on, even though my life went really in the wrong direction. When I was, you know, running up and down the East Coast and I was stripping, I took my Bible with me because I had conviction. I know that sounds wild, but it's the truth. My girlfriend and I would read the Bible on our way to the next club. You know, God was trying to reach me. I was just kind of thick-headed for a while. And then I think, this Christian life is just too hard. I just can't please God. I just can't do it. You know, I don't have the strength within myself. But I was without the power gift. And I thought, there's got to be more to God than this. And I remember when I was 23, crying out in desperation, God, there has to be more to you than this. You know, I said, either I'm going to be able to live for you 110% or not at all. I'm finished. And he manifested himself to me. Then all of a sudden, this hunger for more was insatiable within me. And when I would hear little snippets of people talking about the Holy Ghost, it was like, a tractor beam just pulling me to it. And I had to find out more. I had to find out more about the Holy Spirit. And as I began to listen to Christian television, like Pastor tells, I'd be in front of my TV with my hand on the TV praying with Oral Roberts for the Holy Ghost, because he'd talk about the Holy Ghost, and I think that's just what I need. And you know, I tried to make something happen, but it took a little while. I had to renew my mind. Hallelujah. It's good. I don't know where I am. Okay. Another lie that people will tell you is that it died with the apostles. That it's not for us today. I can prove to you from the Bible that's not true. Turn with me to Acts, the second chapter, verse 38 and 39. And Peter answered them and said, repent. See, you have to be born again to be a candidate to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he said, repent, be born again, change your views and purpose to accept the will of God, your inner selves, instead of rejecting it, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of and the release from your sins. That's the baptism unto salvation. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. After the baptism of salvation, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. Say, it's for me. This is really good. There's an and here. And your children. Say, and my children. And to and for all that are far away. That doesn't mean, you know, the person on the other side of the globe. That means for the generations to come. See, we have a God of generations. He said, I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Okay, it's been a long weekend. Anyway. It's for the generations. So when someone tells you it's not for today, say, oh no, let me show you what the book says. It's for you. It's for my children. It's for the generations to come. It's for all that are afar off. You know, I've been praying for years for miracles, signs, and wonders. And over this weekend, while I was fasting and praying, it's like the Holy Ghost said, just pray for people to get born again. Because when someone's born of the Spirit, man, that's a miracle. And then they become a sign and a wonder to the world. Amen. Pray for people to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because when I baptize them in the Holy Ghost, miracles, signs, and wonders happen. Amen. That's a miracle, a sign, and a wonder to the world. When we get endued with power from on high and we speak in a language that we don't understand with our intellect, but's born in us by the Spirit of God. Amen. And we speak the mysteries of God, the prayers of heaven that are His perfect will. That's a sign and a wonder and a miracle. When you open your mouth and with the help of the Holy Spirit, you are praying out the perfect will of God. The word says, when you know not what to pray as you ought, the Holy Spirit himself takes hold with us and prays out the perfect will of God with groanings and utterances that cannot be uttered, not with articulate speech. The Apostle Paul said, I come to you not with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, thus persuading them. When we live a life on fire from heaven, on fire from the Holy Spirit, then our lives will persuade the world that God is real, that he exists, that he loves them, and that he has gifts for them. He has empowered them to live this Christian life without hindrances. The apostles did it. The disciples did it. There's so many things that happen after they received the Holy Ghost. Acts 10, 38. Turn there. Acts 10, 38. Ooh, I love to hear pages. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. He went about doing good and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. You suppose if Jesus needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we could use the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Turn to Acts 1 verse 8. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you, say me.
Me.
You shall receive power, say power.
Power.
I love that word. That word power in the Greek is dunamis. That word dunamis means dynamite. Dynamite power. And we go through life feeling like, gosh, all this stuff is happening. I don't know if I can make it through the day or through the next hour, or gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. You know, it says it's dynamite power. It's mountain moving power, and it's in you when you have been born of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. That power is in you. Amen. It's in us. It's a gift from God. You shall receive power, dunamis power. It says miraculous. The power, the ability, abundance, strength. It's violence. The Strong's Concordance said violence. And when I heard that, I think, oh, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force.
Amen.
It's like, oh, yeah, devil. Do you know who lives on the inside of me? Do you know who has poured his Spirit in me? Who has baptized me in that power? Do you know what that power represents? All of heaven. All of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Dynamite power, abundance, strength, violence, might. And it says, you shall receive power, the ability, the efficiency, and the might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the very bounds of the earth. That word witnesses in the Strong's Concordance actually says martyrs. When you've got a power that comes on you that produces such a conviction that you can't help but die to self and live to be the witness that Jesus Christ created you to be. That's power. That we're willing to die to our reputation to live as his representatives. Amen. Power to be witnesses. First at home, that's probably the toughest place to be a witness, around those that you're familiar with, around your family members who think you still are whatever the doctor diagnosed you as a child. You still are whatever sin you were involved in and had you bound for years of your life. No. We have the power within us to be a witness, a martyr to our own reputation, to live for the reputation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then we go through the Word of God. And we see how when the Holy Spirit came in the upper room that day and he lit on all the believers in the upper room, that the church was birthed. And the first day when they went out into the streets, empowered like that of the Holy Spirit, baptized in his Holy Spirit, 3,000 were added to the church that day. When you go through the book of Acts, and I encourage you to read it, we are working our way up to the day of Pentecost. You don't want to miss May 19th. May 19th, there's a movement going on right now around the world, and we are part of that number. We've signed up, we put our names on the internet website to say we're included, we're believing God as we come to the day of Pentecost and the celebration of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the upper room on that day. And we are going to see signs, wonders, and miracles move around the world as believers who are praying and crying out to God for a fresh outpouring of his Spirit, a fresh endowment of power from on high, just as it was poured out and just as it was prophesied by Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will have visions. We are pushing for those very things. We are believing God for those signs, wonders, and miracles. And you know what? I believe as anxious as the Holy Ghost was, a rushing mighty wind, not just a happen to come by mighty wind, a rushing mighty wind, that he is anxious in this hour to pour out his Spirit on all flesh and to manifest his presence in our lives. In the same dimension and greater dimension than he did on the day of Pentecost. Study the lives of the disciples. Everywhere they went, there were miracles, signs, and wonders taking place. It's for us today. It's for us today. And those of you that have struggled with, is it really, I mean, what about the speaking in tongues thing? I mean, that's a whole nother message, and I don't have time for that. But in Acts 10:44, just write it down. While Peter was still speaking these words, it says, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And verse 46 says, for they heard them speak with other tongues, and they glorified and magnified God. Not and, there were interpretations of those tongues. There's a difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit, which are tongues and interpretation and prophecy. And you need to learn about those things. You know, Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And we've got nobody to blame but ourselves because he's given us the information we need not to be ignorant. We just need to get into the book and find out what it says and not just believe the traditions of men which have made the word of God of no effect. Amen? Amen. When you were born again, his Spirit came to dwell in you, but he wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and immerse you in his power and his presence. He wants to immerse you. So praise team, come. We got to wrap it up. It's 10:30 almost, and I want time to pray for you. If you haven't been endued with this power from on high, it's just like when the apostle Peter, I believe it was preaching and teaching, and he came to a certain company of people, and they said to him, we've been baptized unto John's baptism, but we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Ghost. And so he ministered to them. He laid hands on them. And the believers received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. That heavenly language is a gift from God. We saw that the Word of God says Jesus needed that gift, that God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the enemy, for God was with him. You want God to move through your life in powerful and miraculous ways? You want the strength to be the witness that you need to be in this earth? To die to self, to be the martyr that that word witness means? You know, the Word of God also tells us that when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It strengthens us. It's like putting jumper cables on a dead battery and charging that battery. All we have to do is open our mouth and commune with the Father, spirit being to spirit being. If you're born of the Spirit and you're not filled with the Spirit, don't leave here today without that gift. We want to pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because he still desires to pour it out on all flesh. Hallelujah. Go ahead, guys. The altar is open.